Father, we bless your name. You are the keeper of your word. Father, we thank you this morning. For once again, there will be the manifestation of your power, of your grace, even upon our lives in Jesus' name. I pray this morning, wherever people might be listening to me this morning, that the word of God will come powerfully into their lives and change their situation. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Put hands together for the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome us to the last quarter of the year 2019. This morning, I am starting a series. That series might take 3 or 4 weeks or more than that, depending on how the Lord leads us. In this church, our vision is to raise a cedar generation, that is a strong generation, a generation of people who are strong. God has called us to raise a cedar generation who will be holy, healthy, and highly successful, radiating the beauty and glory of God in this perverse generation. This morning, the series I'm starting is titled Traction of Success. Traction of Success. Traction of Success. God said, behold, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth. And he said, that I know the thought that I think towards you, they are thought of peace and not of evil, to give you expectant hand. The Lord has created us that we make a success of our mission in this world. But for you to succeed, there are things that can accelerate your journey and ensure that you get to your destination. And now this morning, I'm starting the series on traction of success. Even though God has proposed that all of us should be a success in different departments of life, let me tell you something. Purpose in life can hardly gather traction without the human vessels. There's no purpose that God has ordained in this world that can gather traction without the use of human vessel. I will take my text this morning from the book of Matthew chapter 4. We are going to read from verse 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 4. I want us to read verse 18 through 20. The book of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Go back to verse 19. And he said unto me. Follow me, and I will make you. Nobody can make it in life without a teacher or a mentor. The power to make is embedded in mentorship. The power to make is embedded in following the right path. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. The Lord will make you. I say you will make it. The Lord will make you and you will make it. Peter had potentials. But with all his potential, he was a local businessman. Yes, he was in business. But if you look at the story of this passage very well, read the whole story, you find out that he had labored throughout the night. That means he was in a business that sometimes could gather enough for him, sometimes could be frustrating. His life was full of up and down, even though he was building a career. He wanted to make it, but was struggling with his effort. Until somebody said, follow me, and I will make you. Who you follow and the path you follow determines what you make out of life. Do I repeat myself? Who you follow and the path that you follow determine what you will make out of life. Jesus said unto Peter, follow me. Peter was his brother Andrew. He was trying to make a career. He was trying to make a living. He was trying to build a future. But he was laboring on his own. He was skilled. He was talented. He had potential. But something was lacking. Let me tell you, the act of following to make it in life involves training, involves testing, and involves trusting. For you to make it in life, you need to follow to be mentored, and mentor to be tested. You are mentored to be trained, to be tested, and to be trusted. So many people in life today, they want to make it, but they don't want to go through the process that could make them to make it in the proper way. If you make it, you will need to follow to be mentor, and this mentor will involve training, it will involve testing, it will involve trusting. So many dreams have been aborted. So many destinies have been wasted because they failed to follow this principle. Or they just have their mind that I want to make it. I want to succeed. I want to be worthy. I want to be a business mogul. I want to be a preacher. I want to lead a ministry. I want to have a name. I want to be famous. This morning, I will just start with the first part of this message, which is about training. Tell somebody training. What's the title of the series we are starting today? Can you tell me again? Now I know you are following. So the first part I'm dealing with this morning is about training. Let's open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Training. Remember, I said that the act of making it involves following. And following is about mentorship. And first, what? Training, testing, and trusting. Now, verse Philippians chapter verse 9, it says, those things which were both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Who was speaking here? Who was speaking here? He said, those things which you have what? Both learned and received. Some people receive, they don't wait to learn, and they go to manifest, and they are caught short. Things you are both learned and received. You can have revelation. You can have skill. You can have endowment. You can have talent. God can give you grace, can give you anointing. It is not enough. That is the thing you have received. What about the thing you have learned? Many people receive, but they don't learn. But Paul said, those things that you are both, that you have learned and what? Received. Many, it's important to learn. And how can you learn without training? There's nobody that, I've said it before, that is self-made. It's the exception, it's not the rule. God has not created anybody to be self-made. You have to receive and you have to learn. Yes, you might have endowment. God has put into you potentials. But for you to maximize those potentials, you need to go through some training. Training will make you to gather experience. It will make you to know the pitfall to avoid. It will guide you in the way to go. Those things you are both received and learned. And see in me. You have both heard and see me do. That is, he's saying that you are, like, he's talking like a mentor to mentees. Let me tell you a story of Samuel. You know Samuel in the Bible? When he first heard the voice of God, didn't he know the voice of God? Who did he run to? He ran to Eli. He was in the temple. He was receiving, but was yet to learn. He didn't know it was the voice of God. So he needed to learn. It was then when he went to Eli, he said, then it must be God's speech. Next time he speaks, he will just say, speak for that servant. He received, but he needed to learn. When men receive and they don't learn, it's a problem. I pray unto everyone who is this morning, who is hearing me this morning, you will create time to learn so that I can manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. The man called Moses, do you remember his story? He received anointing. Right from the time he was born, God already proposed he was going to go to lead Israel. And through miraculous circumstances, God saved him. And do you think it was just by ordinary power that he could just kill an Egyptian like that? It was a grace and anointing that came upon him. Do you agree with me? While he was in the land of Egypt, until after God called him in the wilderness. Right from the time he was there, he already had the grace. He knew there was something special about him. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, what does he say? He said that by faith, Moses, we can project it. He said by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But choosing rather, okay, said by faith, I said verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a... Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now look at verse 24. The Bible says, when he was come of age, he refused, okay? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Was he already in the wilderness then? Was he already Messiah then? Right from the time that he was already receiving. Are you hearing me? It was not when God called him with the bush burning and the flame was there and then the bush was not burnt. That was the first time he was already receiving, but was yet to learn. He was yet to learn the art of leadership, and that what made him to now rise up and kill the sheep. And God then had to send him to the wilderness to go and learn how to deal with the sheep. He received, he didn't learn. When men receive and they don't learn, it's a recipe for disaster. If I run away from anyone who receives and is ready to learn, it's a looming disaster. It's a looming danger. You have to both receive and learn. You cannot successfully training. Many young people today don't want to be trained. They don't want to learn. They just want to receive and then begin to exert themselves. And they end up burning their candle from two ends. May that not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So you want to build a business. Look for somebody who has made in that career and knows to the right path. Try to learn from that person. You want to be a great academic. Look for somebody or a set of people who have gone through that path before and they are made it. Learn from them. You want to have a great ministry. God has called you. Take time to sit under training and go to tutelage. You have to both receive and learn. That the level of your maturity reflects the level of training that you have. When you see people today, when I see young people, when they misbehave at time, I tell myself, it shows the level of training these people have learned or they have imbibed. Either they have learned so much and imbibed nothing. Or they have learned nothing and imbibed nothing. The way to be mature is to be trained. When you are well trained, you will adequately mature. This morning, I want to tell you, training is essential in everything. Look for someone or some people under whom you can learn and you can train. And training is not so easy. That's why it's a difficult thing. People want to run away from it. I'll give you a classical example of training. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to read three verses. 1 Kings chapter 19. Just going to read three verses. 19 to 21. 1 Kings chapter 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said, unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Verse 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people. just like a send-off party, farewell party, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. He went after Elijah to do what? Did he start prophesying? Did he start learning how to speak in tongues? Did he start learning how to receive a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation? He started ministering unto Elijah. I will tell you a few things about training. We can see in the life of Elijah. The first thing is submission. Training involves submission. When if you are looking for a mentor, a teacher, please submit. If you do not submit, you cannot have the full benefit of the training. When you see a trainee, they immediately is looking for benefit. And that is the problem with many people today. From day one, they want to reap the benefit. From day one, they want the accolade. From the beginning, they are looking for returns. Submission. Many people cannot stay in any unit in the church today. They are running from one unit to the other because they cannot submit. The problem is not about the unit leader. It's about you. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me this morning? Let me tell you the hard fact. You see people who are running from one unit to another in the church, and the problem is not about the unit leaders. The problem is not about the unit member. The problem is what? It's about you. Because you are not ready to submit. The first step in training is submission. You have to make yourself available. You have to release yourself. Many people come to the church today, they only come on Sunday and go away. They are not in any unit. They are not being trained. And they want to be a good Christian. How can you live as a... Let me tell you, it's not a matter of course. It's a matter of reality. Nobody can live as a strong Christian if you are not trained to serve in a unit or the other. You just remain as Indomie generation. But we are raising a cedar generation. How can you just walk to church every Sunday and you just walk out? You are just like somebody who don't go to a restaurant. You go to where food is ready. Do you know Alaraje Christian Nangbunye? Araje. You know the meal of Araje? People don't cook in their house. They only go to restaurant where food is ready. They go there, they give the money, they serve them. They wash their hands, so they look for they sit down, the one who started will bring the plate. When they eat, they stand up again so that the owner of the restaurant or the waiter will come and carry the plate. They don't want any responsibility. They don't want to give their money. You may come to church, give your tithe, give your offering, and you go away. Alaraje Christian here. Tell somebody, don't be Alaraje. Where I come from, anybody who doesn't cook in his house and goes about just eating, they call him Alaraje. You just want to come to church. Ah, I enjoy the service. The choir was wonderful. The message was good. The music was fine. And you go out to carry your Bible. God bless you, Pastor. You cannot grow like that. You cannot be grounded. You cannot be strong. You need to submit to training. You want to be a professor. Look at those who are doing PhD. Your professor will ask you, go and buy this thing for me. Go and do this thing for me. Is it only your PhD you do? Or PhD professor? Is it only a PhD degree this you do? No. Because say, how can I? A whole MSc holder. Will now go and be buying granite for you for some. Am I a messenger? Omashio. Submission. Elisha submitted to Elijah. And he was not even to start, he didn't start ministering. He didn't start the ministry. He was ministering personally to Elijah. Secondly, training involves obedience. Anybody who is not ready to obey cannot be trained. There are some people who they are wiser than their teachers. They are wiser than their subgroup leader. They are wiser than pastors. Everything they were told, they have a superior opinion. Before you finish speaking, they have a counter argument. As a matter of fact, when you are speaking, they already give you an answer. No time to process. Obedience is part of training. And when you see young men, young women who are not well mannered, notice that those people who are not learned obedience. Even Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus learned obedience, through things that he suffered. So because people don't, there are many Christians don't want to, they don't suffer fools gladly. They don't take nonsense. Me, I gave it back to him. Oh, Jerry Mike. Laye me. But me, okay, so there. Mo juf sick by Daniel. Don't take nonsense. That anybody who has that kind of habit and attitude cannot be trained. It's either your leader, your trainer will just look at you and just leave you. They will just, Makamati, I said, push you aside. Just leave you. And it's not a good thing when people are just leave you alone. Just leave him. That will just leave out. The moment you come to a point that people are just leaving you alone, it's a very dangerous position. Never come to a point in your life that people cannot talk to you frankly. You want people to tell you only what you want to hear. Then you cannot be trained. If you are to be trained, then they have to tell you sometimes things you don't want to hear. Things that are too hard. Things that are painful. Things that are hurting. But you just want every time people to dress you up, just to sandpaper you, and after that spray perfume and deodorant, and say you are okay when you are rotting inside. You must be ready to obey. And let me tell you, the greatest place to train anybody for the world is in the church. I want to let you know, there's no tendencies you have in the world that you don't have in the church. Two of us. I've always told people, church is not a place where we already have all of them, the saints are gathered. It's a transit place between the world and heaven. When we get to heaven, all saints shall gather at the last assembly. No more parting, no more heartbreaking. Farewell to sorrow, victory at last. When we get to heaven, all the saints shall gather. The church is the transit place between the world and heaven. So all the behavioral tendencies you have in the world, you have in the church. So but you are now trained just to overcome those negative tendencies. So a church is a place to be trained. But don't dodge the training. Don't run away from the pains of training. Submit yourself to it. They don't greet me. I greet them, they don't answer me. They are always talking about me at the back. Go to work. Where will you work? They won't talk at you at the back. Go and work in the United States of America. They will talk about you behind you. Go to Canada. They will talk about you behind you. True or false? If you go among the meetings of pastors, When they finish the meeting, some will still talk about somebody, pastor. True or false? So what's the problem? This is the way to be trained and learn so that you can be prepared to face anything out there in the world. Number three, my time is running. It's about training requires patience. Patience. People don't want things to have to. People see this is the jet age. People want it to just happen at the tap of the finger. But when you are being trained, you will learn that you need to be patient. Jesus Christ was born to be the Messiah. At what age did he start manifesting? 30 years. Even though there have been signs, there have been evidences of his being special. Right from the time he was born to the time he was 12, when they went to Jerusalem to worship. But the full manifestation came at the age of 30. And the manifestation was only for 3 years. That means 1/10 of the time, he spent 10 times the time for manifesting for in preparation. Calculate it. Am I right? He manifested for about 3.5 years and he spent 30 years. What's that? That means 10 times of he will need to manifest, he used to prepare. But many people, they want to go to the top immediately. My brother, anywhere you find yourself, like I've always said it, don't look for the elevator. Look for the staircase. While you are climbing the staircase, the Lord will lift you by his hand. But don't start from the beginning looking for an elevator. That will take you, bam, to the top. Look for the staircase. While you are climbing the staircase diligently, the hand of God will come upon you and lift you up. Patience. Go through it step by step. And I want to say selflessness. Training involves selflessness. Elisha was purely an errand boy. Am I right? He was not even, he left everything he was doing, but he became an errand boy. Look, you want anybody to mentor you, you want anybody to train you, and you're not ready to serve, then you are not ready. The first thing, you have to be selfless. Joshua didn't think about his life when he was following Moses. He never knew at the end of the day was the one who would lead people to the land of Egypt, the land of Israel, from the land of Egypt. He thought Moses was the one that was tossing. And so Moses was the one taking them to the promised land. He never saw himself as the person, but he gave himself, he even laid his life on the altar. There was a time they needed to fight a battle, and Moses said, you go there. I will stay and be praying. Which was easier? To go and face the guns, the bows and the arrow, or to sit in your house on your knees, or just hold on hold your hand before the Lord? Which one is easier? None is easy, but one is safer, commonsensically. Am I right? Selflessness. Don't begin to look for what's in it for me. You are in a place. You are under a training, maybe under a leader. The first thing you are thinking is, what is my own portion? When people get to a place, the first thing they start thinking of is asset sharing. When you have that mind of asset sharing in any establishment, then you are not ready for training. The first thing is to forget about yourself, imbibe the character. And also, I want to say that training involves humility. See, when Jesus was training the 12 disciples, a time came. He said he wanted to wash the feet of disciples. By that time, Peter had demonstrated himself. He was a natural leader among them. True or false? Already, Peter already, people already knew that Peter was the leading apostle among the 12. But a time came, John knew that, look, I needed this guy to know when I leave, so that you know that it's not just about to leave people. He said, look, I want to wash your feet. Peter said, no, not me. I will never. Do you read your Bible? He said, no, you will never wash my feet. I mean, I'm the one that should do that. And Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you have no portion in my kingdom. Did you read that one in the Bible? So if I don't wash your feet, then you have no portion. What Jesus was trying to give a reorientation. That look, the essence of follow of the leaders is for you to serve, not to be a lord. So I must wash your feet. So if I now wash your feet, who born monkey? When I go, you not say, I am this, I am that. That was part of the training that Jesus knew that Peter needed. Because Peter could talk. He was voluminous. He was voluble. Sorry to say. And Jesus knew that when I leave, this guy might run riot. I need to debrief him. Selflessness. If you are not selfless, if you are not humble, you cannot go through training. And also under the requirement for training, you must undergo, be ready to endure discipline and tough love. What did I say? Discipline and tough love. Many people don't want this. They want to be condoned. They want to be tolerated. They want to be accommodated. You say, I'll go to where I am accommodated. I want to go to where. People want to go where to where they are accommodated, where they are tolerated, where they are celebrated. Naturally, this is what they want. Where they are celebrated, where they are tolerated, where they are committed, but where there is discipline and tough love, oh, they run away. Yeah, after all, there are so many other places. I can go to any other place. It's not only your place now. But let me tell you, if you want to be trained and you don't want to be disciplined, then you are not ready. And what I say, tough love. Look, I've said this several times. I don't want any lady, and I'm saying it again, to come to the altar and minister without covering the head. That is our unbelief. When you do that, it's an act of indiscipline. It's an act of disobedience. We say that ministers should come for workers' prayer meeting and workers by 7:30 a.m. People walk majestically into the church by 8 a.m. and they don't feel they are doing anything. And when nobody challenges them, they feel they are comfortable. They don't know that they are not being well trained. Odi ojo ale abi role ki oni umbrella ko to mo pe eru ni e igbeyin ni si dun oloku adasi. You may think it's okay, you are okay, but go and look at such people. You see that thing manifesting and reflecting in their lives. You see it in their work, you see it in their home, you see it in their career. When you see people who are well trained, who are disciplined, who are hardworking, go and look at their what they do. You see that trait. Whatever you see a man manifesting and exhibiting inside the church, when you go and find it out, anybody who has to be disciplined, who has to be submission, humility, patience, selflessness, service, discipline, tough love, who endure this. Go and look at their lives in their secular life. You see the same thing. But when people just come and they want to be tolerated and accommodated, how do I say now? Pamper them. Let them go. The world is not here to pamper you. Go to the real world. You see that certain things are lacking. Church is a good place. That's a training ground. What are the things I say discipline, training involves? Submission, obedience, patience, selflessness, humility, discipline, and self. See, when you are trained, you are grounded. But when you are not trained, you do not have experience. Let me tell you, from Saul of Tarsus to Paul of Damascus, training was not eliminated. Training was not bypassed. Let's look at Saul of Tarsus in Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verse 3. I want to round up this today and we'll continue next week. Acts of Apostles chapter 22, verse 3. What does it say? And there abode 3 months. And when, no, Acts 22, sorry, please. I said 22, not verse 20. And I am very a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you are this day. Paul, as Saul, was a lawyer. He learned under the feet of Gamaliel. But when he now became Paul, that had an encounter on the street of Damascus, go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19 quickly, and you see it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. This is the typical Paul when he talks with boldness. Neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. You could see this like a boasting. Okay? But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. This is where I met the Lord. For 3 years. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles I saw not. Now, look at. God was trying to make Paul realize here that anointing is not a substitute for training. Many people think anointing, once you are anointed, you don't need the training. Why do I need to be trained? I'm already called of God. I'm a talented musician. Why do I need to be trained? I can just go and start releasing album. No, I am intelligent. So I can make it as an academic. Why do I need a mentor? But God made it known to Paul that, look, yes, you converse not with flesh and blood. When he was in the Arabia, he was dealing with superior beings, with angelic beings. He was dealing with spirit. Because no, you are done with the spirit. You have to go and deal with men. God made it known to Paul that grace and anointing is not a substitute for training. So if anybody is thinking that I don't need training, I can just go ahead. Once I have the gifting, I have the talent, I have the intelligence, you are making a great mistake. Don't make yourself available for presentation without preparation. God wants you to be trained, to be prepared, so that I can present you to the world as a star. This morning, as I conclude this intraday part with training, is there somebody here who is finding it hard to endure training, who is thinking, I don't need it, who is having the mind, look, all this is not necessary, I can just go on
Let me tell you, for you to go far in life, for you to really get to where God is taking you, you need to be trained. Remember, the power to make it is embedded in mentorship. Jesus said unto Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you. There's no purpose God has planned in this earth without human element, without human vessel. Follow me and I will make you. I want to round up by reading Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 10. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 10. Quickly. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? They that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10, which last verse I'm reading now. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Auto repeat here. He repeat again. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. A little here, a little there. A little from soul group. A little from Bible study. A little from the Sunday service. A little from the activity group. A little from the interaction. A little here, a little there. Precept upon precept. Let me conclude by saying this morning. Don't be enamored with the glamour of success without the grit of training. Don't be enamored by the glamour of success without the grit of training. If you do, it's a recipe for disaster. Let's stand on our feet. God wants everyone to be a success. God wants you to make it. And God will make you. And will cause you to make it. But remember, training is important. Mentorship is necessary. Don't go through shortcuts to success. Those who go through shortcut to success end up being cut short. You will not be cut short in Jesus' name. Go through the proper way to success. The proper way to success involves training. It involves testing. And involves trusting. And maybe I need to retreat again. Jesus said unto Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And I tell you earlier on that who you follow and the path that you follow determine what you make out of life. Do you remember that? If there's somebody this morning who is following the wrong path, let me tell you, some of you are following your friends. They take you to the clubhouses. Some of you, you follow your friend, they introduce you to Yahoo, Yahoo, and Yahoo Plus. Some of you follow your friends, they introduce you to sexual perversion. Some of you, you follow your friend, and they introduce you to drugs. Who you follow and the path that you follow determine what to make out of life. But somebody said this morning, follow me, and that is Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you. Jesus here to make you. You need to change direction. You need to change the person who is your leader. You need to change your path. I know he loves me better
Whatsoever may be, I will follow, follow him.
I know he loves me better. Whatsoever may be, I will follow him.
Follow him.
I know he loves me better. Whatsoever may be, I will follow him.
Follow him. Before I pray for everybody, I want to pay a specific prayer. I said, who you follow and the path you follow determine what you make out of life. If you know you are here today, you are following the wrong path. You are following the wrong friends. You are following the wrong influence. But you want to say, Lord, I want to follow Jesus that I can make it. Lift your right hand anywhere you are, and I'm going to pray for you where you are. So this morning, I just want to follow you, Lord. I know I've missed my path, but today I'm realigning my path with your path. Anywhere you are in the congregation, just lift your right hand quickly, and I'm going to pray for you. I want to see that hand if you are raising it unto the Lord to say you want to come unto the Lord. You want to realign your path with the path of the Lord. Maybe your friends, your colleagues, or the influences around you are making you to follow the wrong path. But today you want to say, I follow the Lord. I want to see your right hand up, and I will pray for you. If I pray the general prayer, that's the basis for. Can I say some? Okay. I pray for the hands that are up. I ask and I pray that you will help them, even their youth, to follow you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everybody who is here today. I pray that none of us will be cut short. You not be cut short your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for everyone that is here today that Lord will cause us to follow you and make us to be great success and standing success in every department of life in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, my Lord and my God, none here will be a failure in the mighty name of Jesus. If there's anyone who has been running away from training, if there's anyone who has not been able to endure training, today you give such a way the willingness and the grace to go with the training to get to where you are proposing her to be in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. We continue the series next week.